You know, when they were singing that song earlier today in the worship time about the blood, I started thinking about a song that we used to sing all the time at the Pentecostal church. I think the Baptists did it too, but I don't know who else sang it. But "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." Anybody remember that hymn, "Nothing But the Blood"? I thought, man, with what they were singing, that'd be a good song to tack onto the end of it. I looked it up, and it said, if the internet's right, that song was written in 1876, and it was made famous at a camp meeting back in the day sometime. But I didn't have time to read all of it. I just sort of glanced at it. But "Nothing But the Blood." Amen. That's a great subject to preach on, but that's not what I'm going to preach on this morning. I'm just thinking about that. You know, a lot of people are facing problems today. I guess we all facing problems, really. But there, some of the people are facing problems and they see no answer. Anybody ever been there? I have. But I don't guess any of you have, because I didn't see any response whatsoever. But I'm speaking to somebody anyway. You know, people ask me, and that's the name of this subject today, can God take care of my problem? Or can God fix it? You know what? The Israelites ask this same question. In Psalms 78:19, and we're going to read it from New King James and NLT. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" The NLT says, they even spoke against God himself, saying, God can't give us food in the wilderness. Here, the Israelites are doubting that God could meet them where they were at. They were questioning whether he could fix their situation. They seemed to forget that their part was to trust God, and God's part was to take care of the problem. Now let's look at what David said in Psalms 23. "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing." David believed that God could take care of him right in the middle of the enemy. You know, he wasn't waiting on his situation to get perfect before he started believing God. He believed God could take care of him no matter where he was or what was going on. Now, here's what we need to know. We need to know what God wants us to do and then allow him to do what he only can do. You know, I've got many stories growing up with Dad, but, you know, my mom sat in the front seat. My sister was be on the back seat, and we had a trunk, and the cars were big enough then you could put a trunk between the front and back seat on the floor there. Actually, it was an old army trunk. And I would sit there on it behind Dad, and I've seen him drive hundreds of miles when it didn't. The gas tank didn't say we could do it. The church hadn't given us a very big offering. Now, you're going back to when I'm 5 years old, you know, six. Back in that day, then they didn't give you no check or anything. They just passed the offering buckets or offering pans. They had them back then. And whatever was in it, they just dump it in your briefcase, and that's what you got. Well, sometimes it wasn't very much. And I know he put all the gas, he stopped, put all the gas in the car he could. And then he just prayed a simple prayer. Lord, I thank you for getting me home. This car's going to run till we get home, and that was several miles. You know, I watch that gas gauge go down to empty, and many times I have. And you know, he never flinched. He never changed. The car sputtered, and he didn't begin to say, "Oh my, what are we going to do?" He just said, "No, you don't." In Jesus' name, and we made it all the way home. I mean, man, we was out in the middle of nowhere. There wasn't no gas stations open at 3 o'clock in the morning out there in West Texas. Back, you're talking about like 1945 or so. Some of you can't even remember that far back. And 90% of you in this room probably weren't even born then. You know, what he did his part in the natural by putting as much fuel in the car as we had money. And then he did his part spiritually by saying, "Okay, God, the rest of it's up to you." You see, I guess that's where I don't know where I got this statement from. I just said it one time. I don't know how I got it. Maybe I got it from growing up. The natural and the supernatural coming together make an explosive force for God. I never heard anybody else say it but me. But I guess that's where I got that, because I watched my dad do what you had to do in the natural and then do what you have to do on the spiritual side, bringing the two together. And I guess that's where I come up with it. I don't know. But I know that it works. Because actually, if you read the Word of God, in many places it says, if you do this, then I will do this. Anybody ever notice that in the Bible? You see, sometimes we want it all to be on the spiritual part. But actually, it rests upon, are we doing what we're supposed to do on our side? Hello. You know, now I want you to notice that I noticed what Dad didn't do. He didn't start saying, "Oh my Lord, what are we going to do now? And we're running out of gas." He didn't try to figure out how God was going to do it. That was God's part. He did his part, and he trusted God to do his part. I believe that if you'll believe God, he'll take care of you no matter what the situation is. Now, I want to go a little different direction. You might think this is a little funny, but we're going that way. You know, God's not limited to only one way of helping us in our problems and in our troubles. Actually, there's more than one way. Now, my dad used to say this about healing. There's more than one way to get healing. You can lay hands on you and so forth and so on. You know, the Bible is full of stories of how God took care of people's problems. Now, sometimes God removed the problem. And we can read about that here in Exodus 14. 22, so the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. Just before dawn, the Lord looked down and saw the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and the cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted the chariot wheels, making the chariots difficult to drive. "Let's get away from here, from these Israelites," they shouted. "The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said, "Moses, raise your hand over the sea." And then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians, their chariots, and their charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the waters rushed back into the usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and the charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. All the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not one single one survived. The hard-hearted Pharaoh was gone. The Egyptian army was gone. There's no more problem. You know, the Israelites had many people that had ruled over them, but God removed them until he alone ruled over them. Look at Isaiah 26, 13. Now I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic Edition. This is not the revised, this is the old edition. Our Lord, our God, other masters besides you have ruled over us, but we will acknowledge and mention your name only. The former tyrant masters are dead. They shall not live and reappear. They are powerless ghosts. They shall not rise and come back. Therefore, you have visited and made an end of them and caused every member of them, memory of them, every trace of their supremacy to perish. Now, you might find yourself in situations where somebody's trying to dominate you or intimidate you. You may have an unreasonable boss or a neighbor that continually takes advantage of you. Can God remove you out from under that rule and influence and cause them to be no more in your life? Well, it seems like he can. He did it for the Israelites. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for us. Throughout the Bible, you see that God removed the problem. He removed leprosy from the lepers. He removed the demons out of the people that were demon-possessed. He went to the cross to remove sin, guilt, and shame, and condemnation, and all that believe in him. He removes the old man, puts in a new man. So sometimes he removes the problem. Now let's look at something else. Sometimes God helps you avoid the problem. God helped Paul in Damascus. Acts 9:22. Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proof that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. After a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. They watched for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. You see, he lived to preach another day. Now, if it had been some of these charismatic faith people today, they would say, oh, bless God, God will take care of me, blah, blah, blah. Well, it doesn't seem that's what God wanted to do here. Here we see that God is helping him to avoid the situation. They're watching for him. But God had another plan. See, God wants to help us to avoid some of our problems. Our problem is we don't listen to the Spirit on the inside of us. You know, that's trying to warn us. You know, I've had people tell me that if they'd listened to their spirit, they wouldn't have got in an accident that they got into. You know, I mean, it wasn't just here recently. I started home the way I always go home. How many of you realize that when you leave work or leave a store or something, you normally take the same route home? But there's a lot of different ways to go. Well, I'm going along. I have on some music. Sometimes I'll have on some sports talk especially right at this time. I've been listening a lot about what they're having to say about tonight's game. But anyway, that's here and there. And so, you know, all of a sudden, for some reason, I just felt, man, I don't need to go the regular way today. So I went a different direction. Did something happen on the other route? I don't know. I wasn't there. If something was to happen, I wasn't going to be there because I felt in my spirit not to go that direction. I went another direction. See, I'm talking about sometimes he helps us avoid. I know one time Lynette was, she was driving, and I mean, she was coming up to the stoplight, but as she approached, it turned green. Well, normally you go ahead. You're starting to slow down, so you normally go ahead and speed up because the light has changed, right? But for some reason, she just felt like I need to just slow down. So she continued to slow down more. And just as she pulled into the intersection, a car come through at a high rate of speed, run the red light, right? And this was inches in front of her car. If she had not have slowed down, it would have hit her right in the driver's door. Hello? That's the way the Lord helps us sometimes. To avoid something. You know, in Proverbs, it says, Proverbs 14:16, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. The foolish plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Some, you know, I always pray the 91st Psalm over any time I'm traveling on road or anything. But I realize I'm covered by the 91st Psalm, which says no harm shall come near you. But I also realize that I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And even though I've claimed the word, if I seem to need to do something different, I follow that leading. Some people say, well, God's going to take care of me. Bless God, blah, blah, blah. Well, Solomon wrote it here. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Come on now. It's really good preaching, y'all. I'm preaching a whole lot better than I'm getting any response. Doug. You know, now, as we're looking at all this, like I said, I mean, I know a minister, and he told my dad this. I was there when he told, because Dad used to preach about stuff like this. In fact, I remember one time that we had driven. I was about 5 years old. He traveled. What most people don't realize about Dad, he only pastored just four churches, I believe it was. And in between time, he was a traveling minister. And he left that last church in 49 and never pastored again. But Mama and Papa Goodwin, they were sort of Mama and Dad's mentors, and that's why I call them that, you know. And Dad did Papa's funeral. I was had the opportunity of doing Mama Goodwin's funeral. But we had driven out of the way to Greenville, Texas, on the way to preach somewhere, and Dad wanted to go in and talk with him and pray with him. So we'd been in there for a little bit, and we started leaving. We all went out and we got in the car, and Dad was still talking to Papa Goodwin there. And all of a sudden, he just said, "We can't go yet. Let's go back in the house." So we went back in the house for 15, 20 minutes, I don't know. And so he's sitting there talking, you know, with Papa Goodwin, and all of a sudden he said, "Okay, we can go now." Well, we got in the car and took off. Well, we got down the highway. Now, I'm 5 years old, so you got to remember, there's not no interstates. It's all these two-lane roads. And we got down the highway, and all of a sudden, you could see black smoke billowing up. And we got down there close enough and had to stop. And it was an oil tanker had flipped, and about 6 or 8, 10 cars, and they were all on fire. And I still remember, I can still see the fire. I remember this, and Dad said, "This is why we couldn't go. If we had went then we would have been right in the middle of this." I guess I learned as much from growing up with Dad and watching him and listening to him, probably more than I did from his preaching. But I remember that vividly today, just like it was yesterday. And I remember he said, "If you learn to listen to your spirit, you can avoid a lot of trouble." I'm going to ask y'all a question. I want everybody to be honest. How many of you have overrode your spirit and got in trouble? All of us. That's why we need to train ourselves to listen to the Spirit on the inside. It doesn't come in a spectacular fashion. It doesn't come with bells and whistles and drum roll. It's just an impression that all of a sudden comes to you. Learn to pay attention to that. Now, let's go to another way that God helps people. Now, y'all are probably not going to like this, but sometimes God takes you through the problem. Hello? Listen to this, Isaiah 43:2. "When you pass through the water, I'll be with you. And the river shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Now, here, seems to me like they're going through something. But God said, "Don't worry about it." I'm just going to paraphrase my own. "Don't worry about it. I'm here. I'm there with you." You know, Hebrews 13:5-6, we're always quoting Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever." God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear what mere people can do to me." You know, this is true whatever you're in. This is true. Whatever situation, good situation, bad situation, doesn't make any difference. He's there. He's always there. Now let's look at some. God was with the three Hebrew children, but they went in the fire. They went through the fire. They came out. Daniel went through the lion's den, but he came out. Paul was in a great storm, but he came out. Now, God is as much with you in the middle of your problem as if he had removed it. He's able to take you through the problem to the other side. He's just as powerful in the middle of your problem as he was before you got there. Hello? You know, we don't have to be afraid in the middle of the storms of life, God is there with us. And if we'll follow him, he'll take us through. Paul said, I believe it's what God has said. God told him, he said, this boat's going to go under, but you're going to be all right. Hello? Come on now. God is working in the midst of the storm. God is taking care of you in the hard times. Hello? You know, when I started Rhema, September 1974, I went to the school every day to teach without a penny in my pocket. I couldn't buy a Coke. I couldn't buy a cup of coffee. I didn't tell nobody. Doug was in that class. See, no, I never mentioned it, did I, Doug? I knew God was going to take me through, whatever. From 74 to 76, December of 76, Lynette and I never bought a pair of socks or nothing. Any money we had was used for the kids. But you know what? I just prayed and asked God to take care of us. He didn't remove the problem. He just took us through it. But sometimes, you know, you're reading there from James, and he talks about the trying of your faith works patience. Anybody ever read that? You know, I found out during that time, just to stay steady and keep trusting God, although it didn't look like nothing was going on, nothing was happening, I'm walking through the midst of this thing. Hello? But let me tell you what. I think that helps me to be and do what I have to do later in life. And building this campus. It wasn't that easy. But you know what? I said, man, I went through the storm and come out on the other side several years ago in 74, 75, 76. Now it's 89, 90, 91, 92, building this building. I said, you know what? The same thing that happened back then is going to happen now. We're going to walk through this thing and come out on the other side. Now, can God always take care of your problem? Yes. He is the great I am, and he never changes. I'm the Lord, and I change not, he said. Of course, we already quoted Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. If he use these different airways to take care of his people during the Bible days, he can take care of us during these days. Somebody said, well, aren't you concerned about what all that's going on? Listen, I'm not concerned about it. Hello? I know what the Bible says. And I believe what the Bible says. And nothing's happening that the Bible hadn't already told us is going to happen in the last days in the first place. I told somebody said, well, I said, if they just read the Bible, they'd find out. You don't mess with Israel. Because you can go all the way back to the Old Testament and find out anytime anybody did, they were way outnumbered, but they never did lose. Hello, come on now. Now, I'm not getting political. You know, I don't get political in this place. I don't say anything political up here. But I am saying what the Bible said. The Bible said, if you bless Israel, he'll bless you. The Bible shows us that he is always for his people. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to come back around. We are his people. According to 3rd chapter of Galatians, we are the seed of Abraham. It says it right here. So that means that I'm not the physical seed, but I'm the spiritual seed of Abraham. And it said the blessings will be mine too. And I'm going to tell you what, God takes care of his people. I don't care what happens or doesn't happen. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Just because somebody said it, God's word don't change. It never changes. It's the word of God is still as full of as much power today as it had yesterday and the day before and the day after that. And God can still and will do what he said he would do. All we have to do is our part. Believe it. Well, I don't see it. Who cares? The Bible said it. Believe it. Well, I believe it when I see it. Well, why do you want to believe it then for? You already got it. God's word is full and powerful today as it's ever been. The word of God said it's as powerful as a two-edged sword. So let the word of God come out of your mouth and cut up all the junk that's around you. That's what a sword does. It cuts things up. When you begin to speak out of your mouth, it begins to cut stuff off. Ooh, that's good preaching, brother. Amen. Go ahead. Wow. Oh, my dad used to do that, didn't he? Right? I did that and I said, oh, Lord. I didn't plan to do that, okay. Every promise in the book will be fulfilled. And he said, he promised in Acts Chapter 1, I will come back. Yeah. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds of glory. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe it. I believe he can take care of me in the middle of the worst storm I've ever been in my life. I tell you what, I made this decision a long time ago. He's my rock that I stand on. He's my redeemer that I trust in. He's my deliverer that has set me free. He's my provider that gives me abundant life. He's my healer who restores my health and heals my body. He's my everything. I can safely trust him because he's reliable. He's dependable. He's faithful. Today, I've settled that question. I just told you. Now you have to. You have to decide, like I did, to be like David. I believe God can prepare me a table in the midst of my enemies. You have to make the decision that God can fix your situation. You have to make the decision that God will bring you out. These are not just words I say. I believe exactly what I've said this morning. And I believe God will meet me. He may remove the problem and he may not. Okay? He may show me how to avoid the problem, or he may take me through the problem. Any way you look at it, I still come out on top, and you will too. Heavenly Father, I've tried to stir up these people's pure minds today to realize that you're God and still God and always will be God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Raise your hands and thank God. Hallelujah. If you happen to be in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know him before you leave here. Or you may be here and you say, well, I used to believe exactly like you're talking about, but I've sort of messed up and taken a detour and got off course, and I need to come back and rededicate my life. Or you might be here and you say, I am born of the Spirit, but I have never been filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about that being filled with the Spirit that they talk about in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They all were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. You'd say, I'd like to have that experience today. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand right now anywhere in this room. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Upstairs, in the downstairs, wherever. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to join this one? Everybody stand, please. I'm going to go right down front. I know one person. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to get up and come on down here right now. And the Lord will meet you just like I've been preaching about. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, come on right now. This is your chance to change everything. Bless you, buddy. Bless you. Bless you, man. Stand right here. Hello. Come on. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to change your life forever. You'll never be the same again after today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come right now? Come on. Come on right now. Hey, guys, I want to pray with you right here. And I'm going to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Make sure you get what you came for. Heavenly Father, thank you for these two lives. I thank you that they'll never be the same after today. I thank you that everything in their life will change. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, right here, would you go with Dave there? Go with him, that special place of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, here comes some more. I'm sorry. Stand still. Right here, I want to pray with you guys. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that every spiritual need in this life will be met now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Just go right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it's all about right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. You got anything you want to say?
And I trust in God, my Savior.